Good afternoon. It is good to see you all once again. We always ask, when I'm here, to always keep Pastor Reese in your prayers lifted up, wherever he is, that the Lord would give him an opportunity to be comforted and to have a peace of mind. Amen. So again, we want to welcome you to our Word on Wednesdays. And for our purposes, we're going through a series called Prescription for the Pandemic. And we are dealing with some principles that would help us to maintain a level of Christian integrity as we get through this pandemic. God has a message for all of us. He has a prescription that he wants all of us to take a part of so we may be healthy during this pandemic. But before we get any further, let us bow for a word of prayer. Again, Lord, we thank you for your grace and mercy. Master, we love you so much. We thank you for these thine people, Lord, that come to hear from you. We ask that you remove me out of the way, Lord, that all they may hear is your word and that their hearts may be encouraged as we get through this pandemic. Lord, we are relying on you to order our steps. We're relying on you to make it through the next day. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So on last week, we talked about a prescription for the pandemic under the first subject matter of remain rooted. Remain rooted. The Bible uses that word root a lot, and it's an agricultural term, and Jesus himself uses this whole idea of farming a few times in his preaching and teaching. So for our purposes, we just want to remind you all, remain rooted, stay rooted. It's a mindset that all Christians must adopt. There's so much things coming our way that could cause us to budge to the left or budge to the right. The enemy himself has a strategy to try to uproot us. But we know that we as Christians, if we're saved, we're always saved eternally. And there's no plucking us out of the Lord's hands. But as Christians, we can be under attack by Satan, which causes the winds of life to blow at us and cause us to doubt that relationship that we have with Christ himself. So we want to just go through some scriptures that will help us to remain rooted. We talked about, if you look at your handout, page number one, and this is just a quick repeat of what we talked about the last time, especially for the benefit of those who didn't join us. So we're just going to quickly go through some of the highlights of last week under the title Remain Rooted. And again, we're going through a prescription for the pandemic. This is a prescription that I believe God wants to give all of us. He wants all of us to take this particular prescription that we may thrive through this pandemic. So Deuteronomy 16 and 21, it says, thou shalt not plant thee a grove of any trees near unto the altar of the Lord thy God, which thou shalt make thee, Deuteronomy 16, 21. And we talked about how by the time of Jeremiah 17, 1 through 8, they Judah had moved away from God's precepts. They had ignored Deuteronomy 16 and 21, and by this time they were worshiping Baal, and God was not happy with them. They had dedicated altars to the god Baal, small g. Their sin was so severe that it had bled into the lives of their children. Even their children had picked up the bad habits that they were demonstrated. And if we move to contemporary times, we find something similar in the sense of those, some of those that grew up in church and they've gotten to a point where their experience at church has made them bitter. And so as a result, as they are raising their own children, I'm talking about people in modern times, they grew up in the church, but they resent the number of times they had to go to church. Some people had to go to church for Sunday worship. Then they had to go to church for 5 o'clock worship. Then some people even had had to be at church for evening worship. So it was all about going to church and being at church. And as a result, some of these children grew up and they became resentful of going to church so much. In many cases, it became more about spending time at church than people actually spending time in Christ. You can be in church and not necessarily be in Christ. So just being at church every time church door open doesn't necessarily mean you're in Christ. What's most important for all of us is to be in Christ. And the times we spend in church should be of quality, not just to fulfill some religious obligation, but to be in Christ in church, so that when you worship, you know what you're worshiping about. When you sing, you know who it is that you're singing about. When you clap your hands, it's to testify about your relationship with God and how he is prospering you and how he is blessing you. So it's important that we avoid religiosity when it comes to when it comes to God, when it comes to knowing Jesus Christ. So Judas had dedicated idols and dedicated poles for these false idols, again breaking or violating the passage or the mandate in Deuteronomy 16 and 21. Their sins were generational. They built up Asherah poles, which were wooden representation of Baal. Jeremiah juxtaposed and compares their religiosity with true worship. There's a difference between religiosity and relationship. There's a difference between just coming to church to check off your religious duties versus coming to church to worship God based on your relationship with him. And then we say to remain rooted, we must be reminded about this imagery of a Christian being like a tree. Being like a tree that's planted by the rivers of life, unmoved. When the tree is planted and its roots are deep, it's hard to move that tree. It's hard for any type of storms to move that tree. We've seen numerous times how certain hurricanes and certain tornadoes blow houses over and move buildings over, but then you always find a remnant. You always find a tree that stands firm regardless of what the elements are. This tree is dug deep. This tree is rooted. This tree will not be moved because of its roots. And so God tells us as Christians, we don't have to be tossed to and fro. As Christians, we have this agricultural imagery of being rooted. It doesn't matter what new fad comes our way. It doesn't matter what new theology is thrown at us. It doesn't matter what new theories, socio-economic theories are being thrown at us. We are firm in our faith. We already know what God has said about race. We already know what God has said about being a good neighbor. We already know what God has said about being prosperous. Based on his definition. We already know what God has said about relationships. We already know what God is saying about the world and how we ought to treat one another. We already know what God has said about parenting. We already know what God has said about how we ought to work and working as if Jesus was standing right there in front of us. So God has already given us a prescription to succeed in this life, and the enemy is trying to throw us off track. But God is saying, be rooted. Don't listen to every wind of doctrine. Don't follow every movement that's going on. Don't be quick to align yourself with this social political organizations. Be sensitive, be wise. There's nothing that the world is doing that's right, that God hasn't already told us to do in the Bible. So we should remain rooted. And we talked about Psalms 1:1-3, where it says in verse 3, and he or she should be planted like a tree by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall also not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. This imagery of being like this tree planted by the rivers of water, which the water nourishes, and the water makes its leaf green. And this is what happens when we absorb God's word, when we find ourselves in God's word. We start growing. We start building up stamina. We start gaining boldness. We start learning how to engage in God talk, not just jive talking, but God talk. We start binding God's word around our neck and then tying God's word metaphorically around our finger. We take God's word with us wherever we go. We become mobile. So it's not just me coming to church and acting holy, but I'm actually allowing God's word to germinate inside of me. So when I'm outside of the church walls, I'm able to allow God's light to reflect through me because the word is inside of me. When I start getting angry, the Spirit of God is able to use what I put in me so then I don't have to sin against my Lord. Amen. When I'm negotiating or in the business world, I'm there with the Spirit, and he pulls out of me what I've put time into, which is the Word of God. So when we spend time with the Word of God, that's in essence allowing the water of life to flow through us. When we are reading God's Word, it's essentially allowing the water of life to flow through us. When we are studying God's Word, it's essentially allowing the Word of God to flow through us. So this whole idea, this agricultural allegory or impression or example is designed to remind us that if we're going to delight in the Lord, if we're going to bring forth fruit, if our leaves are going to be green, right? If our walk is going to be portrayed in light, if our walk is going to be straight, if our walk is going to be prosperous, it has to be by the way we position ourselves. Where are we? Where are we planting ourselves? Are we planting ourselves in infamy? We just want to know everybody and we want to just climb the socioeconomic ladder. Are we planting ourselves with busybodies? Are we planting ourselves with gossipers? Are we planting ourselves with church hoppers? Are we planting ourselves with those that are just religious? Or are we planting ourselves right where we need to be, at the foot of the cross, praying every day, talking to the Lord, getting into the Bible, being a good neighbor, or out there sharing the gospel, or letting other people know that Jesus exists and Jesus is real and Jesus is coming back and Jesus desires for us to get to know him? Where are we planting ourselves? Are we planting ourselves on the mission field, or are we planting ourselves on the couch and just watching television? Or are we planting ourselves in the chair and just surfing the World Wide Web? Where are we planting ourselves? But wherever you plant yourself, you know if it's in alignment with what God wants you to do by the fruit that's yielded, right? By the fruit that's yielded. That's an indication of where you are in terms of where you planted yourself. If other people are blessed by your presence, If other people are being edified by your presence, if other people are being pointed to Jesus because of where you planted yourself, then you know it's an indication that God is with you. But if there's no spiritual advancement from your livelihood, then you need to go back and talk to God about it, because that's not an indication that you're in His will. Amen. So for the Christian, if we're going to make it through this pandemic, make sure that you are rooted. And not only are you rooted, where are you rooted? Where's the location? Where are you rooted? Are you rooted in a place where the waters of His word gets to you, where the strength of His word gets to you, where the imminence of His word gets to you, so you are acquainted with His ways, and as a result of where you're planted, now you're able to go forth and be spiritually attractive, so other people will want to know the Jesus that you know. So let's look at page 2 of Remain Rooted. Again, we're talking about this agricultural imagery of the believer. Being rooted. It's an agricultural term, right? So we're looking at this parable in the book of Matthew, chapter 13, verses 3 through 6. You find the same story in Mark 4, verses 1 through 20. And so in this parable, we find Jesus teaching from a boat. It says the crowd that was following Him was so large that Jesus sequestered Himself on the boat. And this is where He started instructing them. He started teaching them. He had a message for them, the crowd that was following Him. He had a message for them. And it reminds me of modern day Christianity. This sanctuary could be packed with a whole bunch of people, but it doesn't necessarily mean that everybody that's in the sanctuary is here for the right reasons. Just because we all hear a beautiful sermon by the minister doesn't mean everybody that came and was a witness to the sermon was here with the right heart and with the right intent. Doesn't necessarily mean that. There are some people who come for various reasons, and Jesus' message in Matthew 13 is to describe these type of people. Individuals who claim to be Christians but may not necessarily be Christian. People who say they are followers of Jesus Christ, but really may not know Jesus Christ. This is not for me to ascertain whether or not who is a Christian and not a Christian. I don't have that type of power. This is Jesus talking, God the Son Himself, and He knows who belong to Him. He says, "My sheep hear My voice, and they follow and do what I ask them to do." Amen. You can say you are a believer. You can say you are a Christian. But what are you doing with that profession of faith? What does that mean to you? So Jesus starts to teach on the boat. Look at verse 3, Matthew 13, verses 3 through 6. It says, "And He spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow." And the sower in this story is God. "And when He sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside." The seed is God's message. The sower is God. The seed are His messages. "And the fowls came and devoured them up." And the fowl, in this case, can be Satan himself, who comes and distracts individuals so that the word is not does not take root. Verse 5, "Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth." And the rocky or stony places, these are individuals who respond eagerly at first to the word of God, but it doesn't sink in because it didn't have time to take root. Verse 6, and when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Now, I like the way Mark, let's look at Mark chapter 4. Same story. Mark talks about it from a different perspective. So Mark chapter 4, let's start with verse 2. It says, and he taught them many things by parables and said unto them in his doctrine. Verse 3, hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the earth came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground where it had not much earth. And immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. Verse 6, but when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And the other fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought up and brought forth some 30 and some 60 and some 100. And he said unto them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Amen. Amen. So between Matthew, caption of this story and Mark's caption of this story, we learn that there are four types of grounds. And the ground in this case is speaking metaphorically of a person's heart and a person's intent, the heart and intent. And so the word, the seed, is being given by Jesus. Jesus being the Son of God, representation of God, he's teaching. And he sees all of this crowd. Everybody is there, and it'll be false to assume that everybody was there for the right reasons. But Jesus, being God, and knowing that people were there with different motives and different reasons, he gives this story, and he's conveying to them that I realize that not everybody that's cramming to get near to me is here for the right reasons. And in this case, for our purposes in the 21st century, it's still the same thing. There's nothing new under the sun. Some people who comes to accept Christ, they come from a different reason, don't put them in a position to get to know Christ, because they're coming with their own motives. They're coming with their own ideologies, and they are resistant against opening themselves up for God's word to germinate the way that it needs to. So let's look at it. The seed that fell by the wayside talks about people who hear the word of God, but they quickly forget it because the enemy distracts them, and they quickly forget the message. Have you ever attended a church service and you happen to talk to someone that wasn't here, and they ask you what the message was about, and you totally forget what the message is about? In this case, the message is about salvation. And those that heard it, they saw Jesus in the boat, they heard the message, but as soon as they walk away, they would have forgotten what Jesus talks about. Then the second types of soil talks about the rocky and stony soil. People who were eager to hear what Jesus had to say, but the words don't sink in because they allow the enemy to get in, and it didn't germinate the way that it needed to germinate. Then we talk about the ground that had the bushes and the thorns in it. And the bushes and the thorn choked out the seed. These are people who hear the word, but the message is overshadowed by ulterior motives, just like individuals that join church, not necessarily to follow Jesus, but they're more interested in what they can get out of Jesus. right? Individuals that are eager to hear the word, but they have their own agenda. It's choked out, but their own ulterior motives. I want to follow Jesus because I want to be famous. I want to become this giant in the ministry, and I want people to follow me, and I want to have influence. And as a result, people that follow them are being led astray by the word of God. These individuals really weren't called by God to lead anybody, but they got themselves in a position inside the church to a place of prominence, and now they're leading people, but they're leading them in the wrong way. So that third example are individuals, again, who hear the word of God, they receive it with zeal, but they're not getting any further because they have ulterior motives. Then lastly, the fourth example, the fertile soil, the good soil, the one that hear the word of God and are sorrowful about their ways. They recognize their sins, and they realize that outside of Jesus, they're nothing. So they are willing to make Jesus Lord of their life. They are willing to make Jesus Lord of their life. Let's look at the handout. So in Matthew chapter 13, verses 18 through 23, we see that Matthew, he captures Jesus, the latter part of his teaching. And the latter part of his teaching deals with unpacking what he just said about the different types of soil. So he's basically giving answers to the parable. So we see in verses 18 through 23 that he urges us to make sure that our soil is good, that we not only hear God's word, but we respond in the correct way. Let's not be like those other people who hear the word of God, but don't allow the word to germinate because of other reasons. We want to be like the last type of soil, the good soil, the soil that realizes that we are nothing outside of Jesus, that we need Jesus every day, and we want him to be Lord. We don't want to say we love the Lord, but yet we still want to hold on to our old ways. We don't want to say we love the Lord and don't allow him to work on us. We don't want to say we love the Lord and not do the things that's required for us to grow. We don't want to say we love the Lord and not engage in righteousness. So Jesus is reminding the crowd in the pandemic, that we're in. You hear chatter, you hear voices, you hear people standing up or championing different things in this society. Everybody has a voice and everybody wants to use it. When I say everybody, a lot of people have a voice and they want to use it. Everybody have a soapbox. Everybody have their own philosophy. Everybody have their own ideology. Everybody have their own pedagogy. Everybody have something they want to say. Everybody has a song they want to sing. Everybody has a position they want to take. But the position that matters most is the position of Jesus Christ. The position that matters most is the position of Jesus Christ. The message that matters most is the message of Jesus Christ. Nothing else compares to it. All of these movements, all of these groups, all of these political affiliations, all of these religiosities, these religious groups, all of them have their own spin, their own paradigm, their own worldview. But the only one that matters is that of Jesus Christ. Are you open to hear God's words? And are you open to marinate in God's words? The ability to hear and understand God's word produces the following. And I love what Jesus says at the end. When your soil is good, look what happens. Fruit bearing comes in a manifold way. In Jewish culture, 10 to 20 fold was deemed successful and even overly successful in terms of the amount of harvesting you're able to do based on this seed, based on you planting. So 10 to 20 was highly successful. But Jesus says, if you have a good soil, that those with good soil will yield more than the greatest Jewish harvest. Think about that. If you are a good soil, meaning that you allow the word of God to seep into your heart, that you are listening, right? He said, he that have an ear, let them hear. Meaning that if you are an aggressive listener, not a passive listener, if you are an aggressive listener and you say to yourself, I surrender all. Lord, I want you to come into my life. Lord, I want you to be the Lord of the harvest. Lord, I want to follow you all the way. Lord, I am open. I want you to purify me. I want you to take out those things that don't need to be in me. Lord, I want to be like you. Lord, I have an anger problem, so I need you to help me to overcome my anger problem. Lord, I have a short temper. I need you to help me with my short temper. Lord, I have a trust issue. I need you to help me with my trust. Lord, I have a fear issue that often paralyzes me from moving forward in the things I need to lose. So, Lord, I'm giving myself over to you. This is not just lip service. Lord, I'm actually going to step out on faith and do things the way that you want me to do it. And if you do that, you're able to yield bountiful fruits. You're able to yield a great harvest. When you step out on faith and listen to Christ and do things the way he wants us to do it, we're able to yield great fruits. God says that when we step out on faith, his words will never come back void. And they won't come back void. When we step out on faith and put into action what he wants us to put into action, his words will never come back void. We'll always be blessed. We always have bountiful fruits. So we have this imagery of being planted. We have this imagery of being rooted. We have this imagery of us being good fertile grounds. Then the Bible gives us this imagery from a nautical term, N-A-U-T-I-C-A-L. It's an ocean term. It's a Navy term, nautical. So the idea of being rooted or stable is not just found in an agricultural context. The Bible reinforces this concept through this nautical or seafaring lens. So we go from rooted to being anchored. Anchored in the Lord. To being anchored. Ephesians 4 and 14. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lay in wait to deceive. The enemy wants us to be tossed to and fro. The enemy wants us to move with every new theological perspective. Somebody always has a new interpretation of the scripture. Somebody always has a new theological perspective on the scripture. Somebody has a new book they want to sell in the Christian bookstores. Somebody has a new take on the scriptures. And the enemy knows how to use some people to throw other people off track. The enemy knows how to use eloquent people, people that know how to speak, people that know how to talk, He knows how to use them to try to sell books and to try to throw us off track by coming up with a new form of theology. And this has been going on since the first century. When you read the first chapter of Galatians, we get the same concept from Brother Paul. Paul reminds us, he says, don't be deceived in Galatians. He said, whether it's me or an angel from heaven or any other person comes to you and teach or preach to you any other message than that you have already received, let them be accursed. There are counterfeit teachers out there. There are counterfeit preachers out there. And we got to make sure we stick with the book. Don't be tossed to and fro. Don't be so quick to run after new movements, new groups, new ideologies. Don't be so quick. And that's what happened to a lot of church people. They hear something that sounds exciting, and they're quick to jump on board, not knowing what this movement is all about. And oftentimes, the movement has a lot of good things to say, but it's that little bit of cyanide that could destroy you. It's that little bit of cyanide that can take you out. All you need is a little bit of cyanide. Your juice or your water can be 99% proof, but that 1% cyanide could take you out. So let's not be like children. Let's grow up. Children are easy to deceive. They're gullible. But we don't want to be like children. We want to grow up. We want to move from milk to meat. If it's not rooted in godly principle, I'm not following it. If it's not rooted in doctrine, sound doctrine, I'm not following it. I want to give a shout out to our Christian education team. We at St. Paul have great members on our Christian education team. And they, too, are interested in healthy doctrine. So we don't want to promote any books by any author that have a faulty theological perspective. We're not going to promote any book from any author that has a non-doctrinal position. And we can't go by how many people are following certain individuals. We can't go by how many books they have in the bookstores. We can't go by that. What we can go by is, what are they teaching? What are their theological views? Because if that theological view is not sound, it's going to eventually hurt people. It's going to eventually lead people away from godly precepts. If you don't believe me, all you have to do is look in your history books. Look at Jim Jones. And what happened with his followers when he went to Guyana. All you got to do is look at David Koresh and the Branch Davidians. That's all. You don't have to go back far. But it matters what doctrine people are propagating. It matters what we read. It matters who we're listening to. It does matter. And if those individuals are not biblically sound, we ought not to continue reading their books. We ought not to continue to listen to them. Doesn't matter how popular they are. Doesn't matter how many degrees they have. If these individuals are not sound, we have to reject it. Let's not be like children. Tossed to and fro. Carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness. And there are certain people who are very crafty. They position themselves as ambassadors of God, and they are intentionally twisting the scripture, perverting the scripture for their own benefits, And unfortunately, because of their influences, they lead other people astray. And the passage here says, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. They lie in wait to deceive. God is doing a new thing, according to them. So they come up with these doctrines, and many of them are not biblical, and people love stuff that's new. People love to run after things that they consider are new without proper investigation, without looking at God's word to make sure that it's consistent. There's a gentleman on our airwaves right now, and he's already been to jail once for misleading his audience about the efficiency of what he was selling. And now he's back again. Selling miracle water and selling miracle handkerchiefs. And again, these individuals are misleading, not just themselves, but they're misleading other people. They have taken God's word and perverted it, trying to get people to send them money and at the same time misleading them. And eventually what's going to happen is those things are not going to keep them. You can't pay off God. You can't make God do what he never said he was going to do. So when we mislead people, God is going to hold us accountable. But yet those people remain hurt. So if we're going to make it through this pandemic, resist going or following movements that have no traction in sound doctrine. Then James 1 and 6, he says in verse 2 of chapter 1, consider it all joy, my brothers and sisters, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. But if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But he must ask in faith without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Again, here we are with a nautical term, N-A-U-T-I-C-L, an ocean's imagery or an ocean's perspective. And the Bible, again, is trying to teach us a lesson by using a nautical imagery. If any of you lack the wisdom that you need, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But he must ask in faith without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea. You are driven and tossed by the wind. So if you desire wisdom, if you desire things that God has already pre-approved for us, then you can stand on it through faith. I'm claiming it in Jesus' name because God has already pre-approved it. And I'm not talking about a lot of the claims that churchgoers make. Lord, I claim this $1 million. Lord, I claim this job that somebody already has. And God has nothing to do with that. But there are things that we can claim. We can claim to forgive. We can claim to be more loving. We can claim to be more hospitable. We can claim to be more righteous. We can claim to be more prayerful. There are things that we can claim that changes us emotionally, psychologically, and spiritually. Those are the things we ought to be claiming. The things of virtue are the things that we ought to be claiming. So remain rooted. Remain rooted in the love of God. Remain rooted in the ministry of God. Remain rooted in the relationships we build. Remain rooted in our marital relationships. Remain rooted as a single person living in the 21st century, remain rooted as a student going through school. Perhaps you're in high school, perhaps you're in college. Remain rooted, because there's all kinds of stuff going on. There's all kinds of distractions that the devil is throwing at us. But we got to remain fixed. We got to remain by the rivers of life, which is God's word. We got to remain rooted in godliness. And how do we do that? By the word. By the word. When we are tempted, we remain rooted in the word. When we are frustrated, we remain rooted in the word. Some of you all have expressed a level of fear about this COVID-19. Well, in order to help you to deal with this anxiety, we got to get in the word. We got to get in the word. And when you get in the word, the Spirit of God speaks to you. Let's not fear the one who can mess with the body, but let's respect, let's revere the one who has control over both the body and the soul. And if I read that, I gain encouragement, because the one he's talking about is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the one who controls both body and soul. Amen. So in life, I'm covered. I'm covered. He covers me in this life. And if I were to transition out of here, I'm already covered, because he controls death. He controls heaven. He controls it all. So either way, I'm covered. And so we want to be rooted. We want to be confident. And we want to be bold in who we serve. We want to be rooted in the sense that I'm anticipating the enemy trying to throw me off track. Sometimes he uses other people. Sometimes he uses what you watch. Sometimes he uses what you read. Sometimes he uses the songs that you're listening to. So if we're going to be rooted, we got to position ourselves. We got to read God's word. We got to study God's word. And then we have to apply God's word. And if we do those things, we'll be ready. We'll be ready for the change that's coming, that's getting ready to come. When we engage in those three things, when we read God's word, when we study God's word, when we apply God's word, we're ready for whatever life throws at us, because we know him, because we have his words, and because we are reminded of what he says. There's a ringing in my soul. And I'm constantly reminded of God and his word. And whatever I'm engaged in, there's a word from God that comes up in me. And I'm able to make it through. Sometimes when it seems, when I don't see any way out, I hear the voice of God. When I don't see any immediate answers, I hear the voice of God. So if we're going to make it through this pandemic, it's not going to be by cussing folks out. It's not going to be by being mad at people. It's not going to be through being mad at the situation and stressing over what we can't control. If we're going to make it through this pandemic, it's not even going to be by the prescription drugs that your doctor is giving you. If we're going to make it through this pandemic, the prescription for success is to get back in the word of God. And he's reminded us that we got to remain rooted. Remain rooted. People may talk about you, but remain rooted. People may call you old fashioned, but remain rooted. People may call you square, but remain rooted. People may say it doesn't take all that, but you remain rooted. Because in your faithfulness, in you trusting in God, is where your blessing is going to come from. It's where you're going to usher in the peace that surpasses all understanding. It's where we find the joy that the world didn't give and the world can't take away. So we encourage you all, remain rooted. This is part two of remain rooted, a prescription for making through the pandemic. We encourage you all, remain rooted. Don't be dismayed. Don't move to the left or to the right. Don't be moved by every wind of doctrine, but remain steadfast in the words of Jesus Christ. We pray that you receive something from today's Bible study. We look forward to next week as we look at the next subject matter for a prescription for the pandemic. Again, may the Lord bless you and keep you until next week.